Morning, Mr. Goad.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good, thank you. So you recently published some exciting news for Fortune Minerals. It's a JV agreement with POSCAN, which is a subsidiary of POSCO, the third largest steelmaker in the world. So let's talk first about the agreement. From what I understand, under the JV, POSCAN will acquire a 20% interest in your Mount Clapin metallurgical coal project in northern BC, and that works out to $181 million, with $30 million paid up front. So, first of all, I just wanted to ask you how important it is to have POSCO as a partner in this project.
Okay, well, POSCO, being the third largest steel company in the world, is a very important strategic partner for the project. We retained Deloitte about a year ago to help us find a strategic partner that we would characterize as being sort of a validation transaction. POSCO is a fantastic partner. They're a company that's 32.6 billion dollars in market capitalization.
Mm-hmm.
They had sales last year of $62 billion U.S. Their sales were 33.7 million tons of crude steel production, and they had the largest steel plant in the world. So this is a transaction which validates the project and gives us a lot of comfort. We have 20% of the capital cost essentially paid for through POSCO's participation, as well as, you mentioned, $30 million in upfront funding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Will you have an offtake agreement in place with POSCO once you get the mine up and running?
It's actually structured a little bit different, Andrew. It's an in-kind contribution. So what POSCO does after earning in through the upfront payment, they contribute 20% of the cost of the project. So if we have escalation, they're responsible for 20% nonetheless. In addition, they pay for 20% of the processing costs or the production costs, and then they receive 20% of the production in kind. So what they actually do is we're not actually selling the product to them. They just take 20% of the production. And I think what's interesting about this is it's very typical of the kind of transaction that POSCO has been conducting with other companies. Two of the Elk Valley Coal projects owned by Teck Resources are also have similar arrangements with POSCO, where they own these minority positions. And POSCO also owns a minority position in a company called General Molybdenum.
All right, let's talk in more detail about the Mount Clapin project. It's an anthracite deposit, and your latest resource estimate shows over 500 million tons of measured, indicated, and inferred tonnage. So could you put the size of this deposit in perspective for us compared to some of the other world's other met coal deposits?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's a little bit different. It is a metallurgical coal, but it's anthracite, which is the highest quality coal measured by carbon and energy content. So this is the most evolved coal, and anthracite represents only about 1% of world coal reserves. Our project is the only known source of anthracite currently recognized in Canada. It's the largest undeveloped deposit of anthracite in the world, and indeed it's one of the largest undeveloped metallurgical coal projects in the world. Anthracite is probably, first of all, the resources are about 2.8 billion tons in total. 231 million tons are measured and indicated. There are four different deposit areas, and the Lost Fox deposit, which what our feasibility study has been predicated on, has 106 million tons of run-of-mine coal identified in the initial starter pit.
Right.
And that has been assessed in a positive bankable feasibility study, but I want to get back to your earlier question, what is anthracite used for? And that's, anthracite is a very high carbon product used in electric arc steel manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
It's used as a blend coal in the manufacture of coke. It can also replace coke because it's naturally high in carbon. But our feasibility study is primarily based on the production of an ultra-low volatile pulverized coal injection product, or PCI coal, where finely powdered coal is sprayed directly into the blast furnace to reduce the consumption of coke.
Mm, right.
Anthracite is also used as sinter. It's used in pelletizing. It's used in carbon filters for water purification. Large amounts of anthracite are consumed in China in the production of urea fertilizers, where anthracite is gasified.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also used in heating and cooking briquettes. And then, of course, it's also used in fuels for the cement and power generation industry, but our focus has been on the metallurgical markets. There's one other important market, and that's also in downstream metallurgical processing in the ferrochrome industry and also in titanium processing.
Okay. And how does the market for met coal look in the near term?
It's a very good market right now. There's extreme shortages of supply of good quality coals.
Mm-hmm.
Steel production is continuing to increase. China's continuing to grow at about 10% per year. The Indian market has been growing at 8% per year, but their steel production is anticipated to quadruple over the next just the next decade. In addition to that, Brazil is planning to quadruple their crude steel production over the next 20 years. There's greater consumption happening in the emerging markets, generally around the Pacific Rim. And then in addition to that, we have a very constrained supply because, for example, China has become a net importer of coal in 2009, a net coking coal importer in 2007, and a net importer of anthracite in 2004. And Vietnam, the second largest producer in the world, is curtailing exports in favor of their own domestic requirements in their own power and steel generation industries.
Mm-hmm. So BC is going to become an important source?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So just back to the project, I was reading on your website about $86 million of work has been carried out so far, including $65 million from ConocoPhillips. So what kind of work needs to be done near term, and when can you expect the permitting of the mine?
Okay, we are in the permitting process, but this is a project that requires a fairly substantial investment in offsite infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always had two different development options that were available to us. We could either build a new shortcut road to reduce the truck haulage distance and ship our product through the Port of Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, we could extend and upgrade the BC Railway right-of-way, which extends from Prince George up towards the Mount Copan project. We received engagement from the Canadian National Railway last year. They provided us commercially competitive quotes, which made the railway option a better solution for the project rather than the trucking option that which we were pursuing previously.
Mm-hmm.
The project was in the permitting phase for the truck haul option, but we suspended the permitting activities while we pursued the railway solution. And what the railway provides is a simple solution to get our product out to the Port of Prince Rupert, where there's an existing coal terminal which can handle full Capesize vessels. And it also provides for opportunities to blend with other Western Canadian coal producers and also split cargoes when we're shipping our products out to customers, principally in Asia.
Right, yeah. So I just wanted to touch on the port aspect. Prince Rupert is a shorter sail to Asia than Vancouver. How big of a factor was that in choosing this project?
Well, I think Prince Rupert is... Getting access to the port was very important, but I think the shorter cruising range to North Asia was certainly a selling point, but it was principally around the getting the access to the railroad and also being able to use those Capesize vessels and the existing coal terminal at Prince Rupert, which is currently underutilized. But there are a number of other coal developments in the province as well as in Alberta. So there is an expansion plan contemplated to take the handling capacity of Ridley up to 24 million tons.
Right, right. It'll be good news for them. Okay, and just the last question, do you anticipate any problems getting buy-in from the local communities?
Certainly a lot of, just following up on your earlier question, the monies that have been advanced by POSCO, are being directed into completing additional community engagement, to complete detailed engineering, but also to navigate the permitting process. So we're going to be spending a lot of a focus. We have very good support from the Gitxsan people, and we're working right now on getting community support also from the Tultans. This part of the province has great opportunities in mining, but the forestry industry has been decimated. So getting additional economic activity is very important, not only for the mining, but also this this very important infrastructure which we're going to provide. That railway is going to go a long way to being able to service other mining projects, other economic opportunities in the region, and potentially also being expanded up into the north, perhaps into to the Yukon and then into Alaska.
Right.
So this project is not just a coal mine. It's also a project that's going to invest in very significant infrastructure for the province of British Columbia.
Right. Well, it sounds like an excellent way forward, and I wish you the best of luck with it.
Well, thank you very much.